Every year at Wisconsin Eye, we preview the annual deer hunt. This year it'll run from November 22nd through the 30th of November. And we always invite Kevin Wallenfang, big game ecologist with the Department of Natural Resources, to come in and preview it. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's talk about some overview questions. Tell us about the deer herd. Now, what's the population? Where are they at? Where are they not? Let's start with
well,
that.
Well, as you know, I don't talk population numbers because it's something that we've tried to get away from.
It's been controversial.
The last few, it has been controversial, but there's a whole other side of it to me, and that is that it puts horrible expectations out there for people. If I say there's a million deer, they're going to have one expectation. If I say there's 2 million deer, they're going to have a whole nother expectation. And as we know,
and then after even
in years when we shot 650,000 deer in the state, there were people that had a bad season, and that number just makes it
that
much worse.
So that's a no-win question.
It's a no-win question. So, but we can still talk general numbers.
All right.
And we'll talk abundance. How's that?
Okay, so abundance.
We'll talk abundance. Southern Wisconsin, our farmland regions, we have abundant deer populations. The bow hunters out there have been doing very well this year. We have free tags out there. We have extra bonus tags so people can shoot an extra doe. We never seem to have a shortage of deer in most of the farmland regions of the state. We have very productive deer numbers. So when I say productive, they make it through the winter. They have, in general, higher numbers of fawns. Their survival is higher. All of those things cause a deer population to grow much quicker than it would in the north and in our forested regions of the state. That's where we've got some issues going on.
You talked about southern Wisconsin.
That was southern
is
Wisconsin.
Is that south of Highway 29 let's say
Highway 10. It's okay. Really the southern two-thirds of the state. There is a pocket that we refer to as the central forest region,
right.
And that has differences in productivity.
Which
too.
Counties generally make up the forest region?
That would be parts of like Jackson County, Eau Claire okay. County, Wood, Adams, Juneau, that little okay. section of the state right there.
So you sound optimistic about south of 10, but now tell me about north of 10.
That's where we've had some problems. As everybody knows, we've had two of the worst back-to-back winters that we've ever had. Anybody that has deer hunted for several decades is going to remember what things were like back in the 70s when we had some really tough winters and we had very low deer numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what people are comparing it to right now. We have buck only hunting allowed across 19 counties this year, in part or in whole.
Which regions?
Most of that is the northern third of the state.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what we refer to as
the ones that just got blasted by the snowstorm.
They just got pounded with snow, and that's a concern. I mean, we had the worst winter that we've ever kept track of last year as it pertains to deer management.
Yeah.
The worst winter we've ever had. Because I mean, we had winter started in November, and it's starting in November again. So, you know, a couple of months ago, you saw the Farmer's Almanac saying we're in for another bad one, and we all hoped that they were going to be wrong, and here we go, and it's starting out bad. So,
well, since we just had a blizzard, if for deer hunters that plan to go north of Highway 10, they plan to go to the Taylor Counties and the Price and the Bayfields and the Washburns and the Burnett and the Polk, because of the snowfall, should they make any changes or have lower expectations?
I don't think that they need to change their expectations, but going into the season, that snowfall, you know, aside, it was going to be a tough season in the north. I mean, deer numbers are down. I guarantee you that the harvest will be down because, first of all, there are no doe tags. So we have made, you know, basically two-thirds of your deer population in the north is off limits this year. There are no doe tags. So they can only shoot bucks. That, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the bucks that are out there. Based on these last couple of real hard winters that we've had, last year we had a lot of spikes. Okay, so 3-year-old, 4-year-old deer. I actually registered a 3-year-old deer last year that had just spike antlers, where normally you'd have a real nice rack on that deer because of that hard winter. So that's tough on them, and I would expect to see a lot of spikes again this year too. And a lot of those spikes are probably going to be less than 3 inches long, which makes it a legal buck. Can't shoot it.
When I get when I buy my deer hunter license, my gun license, I'm told I can only shoot a buck in these specific counties?
Well, Sort of.
Okay.
I mean, you need to look
how
at the regulations.
How do I know where it's bucks only?
Yeah, we've the hunting regulations are out there. They're all over our website. I mean, we always put those regulations
out. Give your website.
We put special maps out.
Which website?
It's wdnr.gov, and then if they go to the keywords and they put in deer,
okay.
Just D-E-E-R, and they'll find it. So, you know, everybody is always encouraged to look at those regulations. But when you go to buy that license, that license is valid for a buck statewide. Okay. So you don't have to ask any other questions, and you can use that to get a buck. Now, it's when you want to take extra deer, if you want to shoot a doe, mm-hmm. that's where you need to start asking questions and make sure you see that map.
Before we get into specific changes, this is the first season that reflects the recommendations of the trustee report.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
You want to talk about that process quickly? And I understand there were 60 recommendations made.
60-some, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so a few years ago, actually the very first meeting that I went when I came back to the DNR was when the deer trustee, the three gentlemen came to the state,
yes.
and there was this big data dump on them. They provided them with a lot of information that they were using to review Wisconsin's deer management program from top to bottom. And long story short, there were some public hearings, there were meetings that happened, there were action committees made up by the public to formulate ideas and everything else. Long story short, here we are 3 years later, we're going into our first deer season where all these new recommendations are actually being laid out there and put into motion. So, you know, we're looking at some of the things I think you want to talk about here, you know, the changes in the deer management units,
yep.
these zones that we're talking about yep. already, those are all part of the program here.
Well, before we get to those specific changes, and we will, I want to talk about one of the most fascinating changes. For the first time, who can use a crossbow to hunt deer has been expanded, correct?
It has.
And it mm-hmm. used to be only who could use a crossbow.
In the past, the only people that could use a crossbow were over 65 or if they had a disabled permit.
Okay.
So that process actually happened outside of the whole deer trustee process, though. That's been in motion for quite a while. In fact, it's been debated for a long, long time. But yeah, there was some legislation that went through. There is a crossbow season now. It is a separate season, mm-hmm. although it runs concurrently with the regular archery season. So. Starts in September, runs through the first weekend in January. Anybody that wants to go out there and hunt deer with a crossbow can do that now.
Well, now let's go to the graphic, which we do summarize some of these changes.
Okay.
And the crossbow season, the expanded use of crossbows is actually the first item. I was surprised. I asked Bill Kosh, who's the number one spokesperson for the DNR,
yep.
for some numbers. And you're telling me that more than 63,000 crossbow licenses have been sold?
Correct. Yep.
You surprised at that number?
You know,
who's buying them?
I don't know that. I can't say it's surprising because we've never done it before. We've never had a crossbow license, so we didn't know what we would get.
Okay. How much are those licenses? Do you know?
Oh,
remember
boy,
offhand?
You got me on that one. I think they're $24.
$24.
I think it's the same as our. It's the same as our archery deer license.
And you
so
can
bet.
You can use a crossbow through the archery season, which ends on January 4.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. So you asked who is buying these. I think we will have the capability to kind of mine that information from our customer service database. I've heard stories of very young kids that got their first deer this year, or a lot of them are young ladies who maybe in the past didn't have the strength to pull a bow that their dad or their mentor or their mom or whoever thought was sufficient to go out and shoot a deer or didn't meet the requirement of poundage. There's also, I've heard plenty of stories of folks that used to bow hunt a lot and, you know, age caught up with them. They couldn't pull a bow anymore. It hurts their shoulders, whatever it may be. Gave them an opportunity to get back out in the woods. But, you know, I've heard stories too of 20, 30, 40 year old young guys that are fully capable of using whatever equipment decide to give it a try.
Are crossbows more accurate than the traditional bow and arrow?
Well, it depends on where you point it.
any gun is
only as good as where you point the thing. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, I have picked up a crossbow the very first time I shot it, and I was shooting bullseyes with it. So they've got scopes on them. You know, it's more like shooting a gun mechanically. Certainly the ballistics of everything are significantly different. But I would say in general, to practice with a crossbow versus practice with a regular handheld bow, mm-hmm. certainly you're going to be good with that crossbow a lot quicker.
Do you need to do a lot of practice with your brand new crossbow? I was in line at Dick's Sporting Goods, and the young man ahead of me just bought a really nice crossbow. Do you need to practice more?
I know somebody that bought one, and right out of the box, they split arrows in half with it.
Really?
Literally did a Robin Hood with it. So, and I just heard about that this week. He sent me some pictures. So, again, you know, equipment, the quality of the equipment is going to vary and everything else. There's difference in the way the broadheads shoot. You need to get familiar with that stuff. Nobody should pull anything out of the box and go hunting with it the same day.
I didn't want to ask
spend
that,
some time with it.
I didn't want to ask that guy in line at Dick's, but what's the range of costs for a crossbow?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't shoot them regularly. I've okay. never tested them. I think that the average guy, you know, 20 or 25 yards is not going to be very difficult.
Okay.
So, you know, you hear that you can shoot 100 yards with a crossbow and things like that. Well, you can with a regular bow, too, if you know how to do it. So it's all in familiarity
so
with the
DNR
weapon.
Is very pleased with the first time the who can use a crossbow has been expanded.
I don't know that there's an opinion on it. I don't. Okay. Nobody's pleased. Nobody's displeased. I mean, it is what it is, and it's another hunting opportunity out there. And, you know, when
do they have the same limits on quotas?
There is no separate. It's not separate, but that's where the separate season came in.
Okay.
There was concern that when crossbow use started, that the success rates would go up drastically and things like that. So they wanted to keep it a separate season so that if there were drastic differences, adjustments could be made in the season length versus trying to mess with antlerless quotas.
Okay. Now let's go back to the graphic. The second major change, new unit and zone boundaries. What does that mean?
Let's start with the zone part of it first. We've split the state into four hunting zones now, and zones aren't really a new concept. We used to have the CWD management zone.
Yeah, those are gone.
That's gone now. Yeah, and so we've split the season. There's two forest zones and there's two farmland zones, which we've already talked about a little bit. That was really all based on season structure so that we can put special seasons out there that apply only to a certain area, mm-hmm. but it's also for season consistency. You might recall in the past we had these regular units and herd control units, and they'd flip-flop back and forth from one year to the next. People never knew what they were going to get, you know. So this is a way to add some consistency to things. You know what your deer season is going to be every year. You can plan your vacation time, all those kind of things around it. So that's the zone part of it.
Right.
Then the deer management units have changed significantly. So we used to have 130 some deer management units that followed basically roads and rivers around the state.
Right.
They're based on habitat type and whatnot. But as we go, as we move to trying to get the public more involved in wildlife management and deer management in particular.
That's really the goal of the trustee report, right?
Partially, yeah, partially it is. And we're going to talk about these councils here in a minute too. As we went that direction, and also as a simplification of the rules, we just made our deer management units our counties. And the county boundaries have always been the one consistency for decades and decades. As we manage deer in Wisconsin, every time a guy takes a deer in, or a gal, takes a deer in and registers that deer, we ask them questions and, you know, what deer management unit did you shoot in, what county and whatnot. Mm-hmm. County is the one consistent thing. Throughout that entire time, we've always asked what the county is. So it gave us a starting point for data as we try to manage deer with that data, but it also gave us political boundaries to get stakeholder groups involved in deer management. So when we're trying to get, say, foresters or ag reps or whatever it might be, they're usually working for a county outfit of some sort or the state, you know, county forest or whatever it might be.
Right.
This gave us an opportunity to plug them into a set boundary that they are familiar with, that they work in, and get them involved in what's going on.
Okay. So. Before we talk about the County Deer Advisory Councils, new seasons, licenses, and tag options, sir?
Yep, the seasons have changed a little bit, and for the most part, we're talking about those special antlerless seasons that we've had in the past. So we've had, used to have a statewide December doe season, or an antlerless hunt. That has been restricted to the central forest and the central farmland. So that's where the zones come in. We can restrict the season based on a geographic area. The holiday hunt that we've had over the past several years, that's restricted just to the southern farmland zone. The CWD seasons are all gone. There's no October hunt anymore.
But in getting ready for the show, there's a reference to, instead of the CWD zones, there's what?
CWD affected counties.
Explain the difference, sir.
Well, CWD has spread across the state, and I wish you had a map we could show it, of it here, but it's really creeping up through the central part of the state, and anytime a captive, a game farm situation, that's also now included in what is a CWD affected county. So we, again, as a rule simplification, we got rid of the CWD management zone because it doesn't apply the same way that it did when CWD was first discovered 12 or 13 years ago.
But if I'm a hunter and I get a deer or a buck, should I automatically have a check for CWD or only in certain zones?
Well, that's a personal thing. I recommend that people get them tested. When I shoot a deer in CWD, in a CWD affected area, and mostly I'm either right around Dane County here or whatever, where there is a lot of CWD, I always get my deer tested. And that option is still out there for people to do.
What is that process? So somebody gets a deer, they take it to the registration
station? They take it to a station, or if there is not a station there's designated places out there that are cooperating with to collect the heads. But they can take it to one of those stations. They'll either take the whole head or they'll cut the lymph nodes out of the neck.
Okay.
And then they tag that deer in a certain way and they keep
those
separate.
Does the hunter have to pay for that test?
No. Right now, the hunter does not. I mean, there's been the budget for CWD testing and things like that and monitoring has been significantly reduced from where it was when this was first discovered. But no, as of this point, it's still a free test and the department will test anybody's deer.
Do you consider CWD a growing problem or you think it's leveled off?
Well, again, that's kind of a tough question to answer. It depends on your perspective. From the hunter standpoint, I think the worry of it, the scare of it for many people has diminished significantly. You'll recall the first year when it was discovered, lost like 20 or 30,000 deer hunters in the state that year. For lots of folks out there, they are every bit as concerned about it right now as they ever were. So, from the department standpoint, we continue to try to monitor it. We continue to react to situations where it's popping up. The best thing for any disease is to have low deer numbers. And, that was a goal from the very start. The word eradicate got used improperly quite a bit early on. People took it as eradicate the deer herd. It wasn't to eradicate the deer herd. It was to eradicate the disease. But the best way to contain that disease is with low numbers. It's like any disease with people or whatever. If you're isolated by yourself, you're not likely to catch anything. As soon as you get around other people, and many people, the more people you're around, the more likely you are to catch something. So CWD is kind of the same way.
Has CWD hurt the program? It had been popular in some years that deer venison was contributed to food pantries. Have those donations been up or down? The program still exists, right?
The program does still exist, but I think that the donation amounts have gone down. But part of that also is that deer harvest has decreased over the last few years. So kind of one of the same. But you ask an interesting question of has that hurt the program. Chronic wasting disease was part of the reason that the whole deer trustee event took place, because chronic wasting disease brought regulations to our hunters that our hunters didn't like. Earn a buck is probably the biggest of those. They did not like to be forced to have to shoot an antlerless deer first.
And that went away.
It did go away. And it went away with a very bad taste in a lot of folks'
mouth. Did it go away last season?
It went away for the first time in 2011.
11.
And it went away by legislation.
Okay.
That's wasn't
right. It was mandated from the Capitol.
Exactly. So those kind of regulations that, first of all, forced people to do things that they didn't want to do. And then second of all, they saw deer numbers decrease, and our hunters don't want to usually see deer numbers decrease. All of those things were shifting in a direction that really caused some bad feelings among the hunters out there, and that's where the whole deer trustee process kicked off.
Another major change, going back to the graphic, a pilot for new methods of deer registration.
Yep.
But in getting ready for the show, you advise people to pretty much register in the way they have been for decades, right?
They have to. Yes, we are. Okay, so we are going to implement a whole new system of deer registration that includes telephone, using the telephone, using the
automated telephone?
Yeah, using the internet. So anybody that turkey hunts has been using this system already or something similar to it for years.
And it's worked pretty well?
Works real well. Okay. We're one of the few states that don't have electronic registration options for deer right now. So we are moving that direction. In 2014, the vast majority of hunters will register a deer as they always have. They're going to take it to any one of 600 plus deer registration stations around the state, and they'll do that.
But they have to take it either in the county in which they got it or the county,
an adjoining county. Right.
Contiguous.
Right. But there are a group of people out there. 200 people were selected in each county. So we've got about 14,000 folks out there that got a letter in September that gives them the ability to pilot, to test out our new automated system.
So, phone line and internet.
So phone line, internet, or they can still take it to a regular station as they always have. But by 2015, that electronic registration, all those options will be available to everybody.
So by 2015, the old traditional deer stations are going away?
Sort of. The paper part of it is gone. The nice thing about it, though, is that anybody out there, any business, you could put a sign in your front yard and say, I'm a deer registration station. As long as you're willing to let somebody use a laptop computer or your telephone, you can call yourself a deer registration station. Okay. So any business out there can now do it. We've talked to plenty of folks, the archery shops, the sport shops, taverns are going to throw a laptop computer on the bar, and you can go register your deer just as you always have. Okay. But you're going to do it electronically. There won't be a metal tag that goes with it anymore. You won't have to fill out a piece of paper. So everything you filled out on paper in the past, you'll now do on that computer or over the telephone.
But the takeaway is that for this season, the one that starts November 22nd, you're going to have to traditionally register it in the old way.
Yep.
Unless you're one of these 200 in each county?
Correct.
I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Now, the other one, the final thing on our graphic here, new methods of setting quotas through county deer advisory councils. These are brand new animals. Are they already up and running and
they are.
Members appointed?
Yes. The county deer advisory councils really kicked off their first process, in September. So they've all had, every county with the exception of Menominee, has had a meeting in September and a meeting in October. The councils are made up, the seats are set in rule, okay? So there's a forestry seat and a tourism seat and an ag seat and a hunter
counties?
Seat in every county, and they're filling up pretty well.
Who picks these members?
They go through an application process. The hunting group out there is actually the one seat at the table that is selected. These committees are chaired by members of the Conservation Congress. Mm-hmm. So there's a chair and an alternate chair that are from the Congress. There is not a department employee on these committees holding a seat. We are there in an advisory role to them. We have several liaisons to each one of the councils, one from forestry, one from wildlife, and one from law enforcement. But we're not voting members of any of the committees. These are purely stakeholder public councils that are diving into deer management. And it's been very, very interesting in a lot of situations how they sit back. Some of them have called me up and they said, I can't believe what you guys go through in deer management. I had no idea. So now they're getting a taste of all the things that we juggle, all the things that it sounds good on this side, but it doesn't sound so good on this side. They're getting a taste of that.
Are they actually setting county by county quotas, or do
they will
recommending
be.
To the DNR?
Well,
which
okay.
can overrule those.
You're right. That's a better way to put it. They are an advisory committee to the department. So they are making recommendations to the department. But, you know, if their recommendations are sound, they're going to be accepted. Their recommendations will go to the Natural Resources Board later this winter exactly as they propose them. The board will then decide based on their feedback, based on department feedback and whatnot. All these things will be reviewed, and they're going to weigh the good and the bad, and they're going to decide if the council is right or if they're going to go a different direction.
So this year, the council process was set up, but their actual recommendations won't take effect, assume it's approved by the DNR board, until next season?
2015 season is when it starts. So what they're focusing on right now, and by the way, there's a survey out there that the public can jump on. There's a CDAC website on the department site, a page. And there's a survey out there that they can look at the recommendation for every county. And basically all we're asking them to tell us is one of three things. Do you want more deer? Do you want less deer? Or do you want to maintain your population where it is right now?
Okay.
So they're doing that process right now. So that's basically what we used to have as goals, deer population goals. We don't have management goals anymore. We're basing it more on this fluctuation and basically public tolerance.
Which county in Wisconsin is the deer harvest biggest? Do you know?
Well,
are there one, two, or three?
I know that Marinette has always been up there, but it's also one of the biggest counties in the state.
Yeah.
I know that when you start looking at a better way to look at it sometimes is deer harvest per square mile.
Okay.
And when you start to look at that, you start to look at Shawano County, Waupaca County, kind of that Fox River Valley is really a hotbed for deer right now.
Okay.
Green Lake County. So, it's, you know, they're farmland deer management units for the most part.
We see ebb and flows in the number of deer hunters that use guns and go to the woods. How do you feel about this season? Early indications of number of permits sold, is it pretty optimistic?
The license numbers seem pretty close to what they were last year. So, I mean, I'm always optimistic. Deer hunting is always fun to me, whether I get a deer or not. So I hope there's a lot of people out there thinking the same way. But, like I said when we started this thing, I would expect that the hunters in the farmland regions are going to have a very, very good season. And I would expect that the guys and gals that are hunting in the forested regions are going to have a tougher go of it.
And this is a huge part of Wisconsin's not only culture but economy.
You
billions are spent on this,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you consider of all the changes for the 2014 season, the one that you want to come back to as the biggest thing deer hunters watching this show should be aware of, sir?
I would say that it's probably got everything to do with simply knowing where you are hunting now. If you're going to buy a tag, if you're going to fill that tag, you need to know where you are, and those boundaries have changed. So when you go to register that deer, you're going to register it in a different way than you have in the past.
And they can get this information where?
All on the department website. Again, it's dnr.gov, and if they just punch in keyword deer, they're going to get a whole page of all kinds of stuff. We've got FAQs out there to help answer all the questions about the new rules, maps, you name it, it's all right there. So we've done a ton of work this year trying to get prepared, get the public prepared for these changes. But we know very well, too, that an awfully big percentage of the deer hunters out there buy their license that last week before the season.
Yep.
There's going to be people walking into the sports shop on Friday night to buy their gun license, and they're going to see some changes that they aren't aware of. And that's what we're most worried about. So we're hoping people are studying up on this a little bit before they go and buy their license.
In your FAQs that you gave us, and thanks for the cooperation getting me ready for the show, there's a reference to shotguns. Okay. Has there been a change on that?
There has not been any changes this
year.
Shotguns, for the most part, are allowed statewide now, but there are local ordinances that affect that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they, if you're hunting in a near a community of some sort, you should check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, final advice to get to anybody who's looking forward to the deer hunt, which starts
well,
22nd?
Safety is always top of the list. We had a very good year last year, very few accidents. It continues to show that most accidents are caused either by self-infliction or somebody that they know, somebody in their own hunting party. So safety is always the most important thing. You get through that season without any problems. It's only a deer. It's not worth killing somebody over. It's not worth hurting yourself over. So I know deer hunting is a passion, but it is only a deer, and there hopefully will be another chance. So don't do something foolish.
Assuming that blizzard, that 14 to 20 inches in northern Wisconsin, sticks around,
yeah.
Is that what do they need to know hunting up there?
Well, most of the folks that hunt in northern Wisconsin are used to getting some kind of tough weather. It was tough up there last year. It was doggone cold last year.
But 12 inches of snow?
12 inches of snow.
Is a lot more than we traditionally
yeah,
get in northern Wisconsin.
You know, you may see deer moving towards old, the traditional deer yards and things like that. But like anything, that can change quickly. If this would be the weekend. Get out there and do your scouting and see where the deer are and adjust accordingly. It's, the guy that wants to sit on the same stump for 30 years and expect to see the same thing, it doesn't usually work that way. Habitat changes, houses go up, all kinds of things change out there. So you've got to roll with it a little bit.
Okay.
Do your
homework. You're going to be out in the deer stand on November 22nd.
I'm going to be in the far north.
Do you want to share your favorite spot?
Well, I'm going to be somewhere in Vilas County.
In Vilas County.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't expect to see a lot of deer. I didn't see a lot of deer up there last year. Deer numbers are down. It's one of the buck-only areas, so it's one of the areas that we focused on across the north to try to increase deer numbers. I am already most concerned about the winter starting in November again, mm-hmm. and that if that continues throughout the winter, we're going to have a couple of years of pretty tough hunting in the north.
But so it's a huge part of Wisconsin's fall culture.
It sure is.
Yeah, that's great. Kevin Wallenfang is the big game ecologist for DNR. Kevin, I always enjoy our annual previews. Thanks
Me
again.
Too. You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.